most followed brand in Houston sports media.
Yes, who?
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. Live from the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's the kings of Houston sports radio, John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. 713-780-3776, the number if you want to hang out with us here on the show. You are more than welcome to do that.
Before we get to Justin Verlander, I just want to say, I want the record to reflect that Greg Cosell on a regular basis gives me entirely too much credit. When he says things like, Lance, I know that you speak to a lot of NFL head coaches. I don't. Lance, you watch a lot of this tape. I know you're going to know this more than anybody about Hulala Hufanga. I don't. Lance, I know, you know, from talking to you in the past, you probably watch these quarterbacks more than anybody, these NFL quarterbacks. That's incorrect. He gives me the most credit. Lance, and I'm sure you can speak to this with your dad being a father. A lot of coaches, when they go into meetings, I don't know any of that stuff. Greg just, yeah. Some of it I know, but he gives me credit for, like, I just want to defer to you, Lance. No, you should defer to yourself because nobody watches or knows more football than you, Greg Cosell. That's just a fact. That's why it's amazing having him on, because the insight he'll give you, if you really love the concept of football and the X's and O's about personnel matchups, which we like, personnel matchups and coaching and what quarterbacks are seeing, he's the most unique guest that you can find on the radio because he watches. He sets up matchup shows. Part of his job is watching tape, and his love is watching tape. So I do it as a job for college prospects. I'm not watching all the NFL tape anymore like he does. He is in a class by himself to me.
And here's the thing, too, is he talks about concepts. And, you know, that's what coaches talk about, too.
Mm-hmm.
What is your concept here against this coverage? You know, we have certain packages, and he can break that down.
He gets into the mindset of the game. Like, why is this happening? You know who changed that for him? Or who really elevated him was Ron Jaworski. I had a chance to go out to NFL Films a couple times, and he and Jaws worked together on ESPN. Remember when Ron Jaworski was on ESPN for years? Well Jaws worked directly on
it. Down.
Well, it was the same show.
Yeah, right.
So it was just so Greg was like the executive producer kind of, or the head information for Jaws' show. And I think Ron Jaworski taught him to look at. I was at NFL Films. Doing in 2014, before I worked for NFL.com and Network, and I was invited there by Greg to be part of their mock draft. And it's Ron Jaworski was there. It was me, Sal Palantonio, Adam Kaplan, just some Jordan Renan, who is a writer now with ESPN, just some different football guys they knew. And it was really cool being part of this mock draft, and we each picked for it. Like, we each took turns making a pick going around. And that's when we went through the first round. We're like, holy crap, we don't even have a first rounder in this draft. And no, that was the year before. That was the year before. This is the second year when Johnny was in that I want to tell this story. So me and I cannot remember who the other person was, we were arguing for Johnny Manziel. Like, this guy, he's got something special, and we're talking about this and talking about it. And Ron Jaworski's like, is that right? And Greg said, hey, let's do this. After we finish this mock draft, let's go up and watch some Johnny Manziel tape together. And I'm like, yeah, that would be great because, Josh, you're going to get a chance to see this kid's really special. And Greg was setting me up, yeah. Which I didn't know, which was great. Me and, once again, there was somebody else who was team Johnny Manziel. So we get up there, and he turns it on. He goes, Greg said, Jaws, I know you haven't really watched him you've watched him closely, but not as closely as we have because he wasn't doing draft stuff. Tell us what you see here. And Greg, and Ron Jaworski's like, okay. So we're watching. And I mean, when you're watching with somebody who really knows how to break down tape, you see all the flaws very quickly. Well, he doesn't identify safety there. That would concern me a little bit. See right here, he's not throwing with any anticipation when the pass breaks over the top of the drop linebacker there in the zone, he's got to be thrown into that window, and he's waiting. And the more he's talking about this, I notice, man, Johnny's waiting for everything to break down. Like, plays need to break down and go off schedule for him, which sometimes used to be a thing with Deshaun Watson, too. There's a lot of quarterbacks who get like that. And after I was done watching, and you saw Johnny didn't throw with anticipation, Johnny liked to work, everything had to come off schedule for him to be happy. Passing lanes were clouded, and he, you know, had passes batted down. And I told, and they told me to pick the game, and I was like picking games for him to use, and they were finding all these flaws, and I'm like, holy crap! I went back to do radio the next, you know, 2 days later. I'm doing radio, and I'm on the air. I'm like, I know the Texans have the first pick. I'm like, I saw some stuff that really makes me look at Johnny a little differently. And watching tape with Greg and with Ron Jaworski, you start seeing the flaws in quarterbacking that's going to come back and get you.
Well, I knew his coordinator really well. And the thing that got me was when
Johnny's coordinator.
Johnny's coordinator.
Not Satch Mickelson, Ron Jaworski's coordinator from college. You didn't know him.
Right. Jake took over, and he's watching film with Johnny, and he goes, Johnny, okay, what are you thinking right here? And Johnny goes, I don't know. And Johnny would go, What do you mean? Did you see this, Johnny? I don't know. I just threw it.
I'm sorry. Hold on one second, Jake. Let me just remind you what my name is. Johnny
Man.
Football.
That's right. That's
okay?
Right. Yeah.
Do you see this?
Yeah.
Do you see this chain I got that says Johnny Football?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm seeing.
That's right.
I'm seeing this whenever I'm looking at the field.
He can't hear you. He's got too much money in his ears.
Yeah.
He have a lot of money in his ears.
Jake is probably not breaking down a lot of tape with
Johnny.
No,
Jake was like, oh, okay.
What's Johnny doing? Johnny will be here soon. He'll come out to the – he'll be out in the pool one day.
Oh, Johnny will be here.
At the
Absolutely.
Nugget. Yeah.
Hey, Johnny.
He'll be here at the pool.
I would imagine this place has got Johnny written all over it.
Johnny will be here if he has
– too much money in my f***ing hand.
Was that him? Oh, that was actually him, Tyler.
Can't hear you.
So that was actually – because usually I can't hear you. I got rings in my ear or whatever.
That was his friend.
Yeah.
They were at a club, and he had like – 5 stacks, just like
pressed against his ear.
It's a cell phone or something.
I bet Johnny's friend can hear you now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As we mentioned, we were going to talk a little bit about Justin Verlander here. Now, Justin Verlander was throwing great. He was throwing last week. He threw for 15-20. It looks like the Angels are going to make a big offer for Justin Verlander. The Astros gave him the qualifying offer of 18.4. The qualifying offer just means that the Astros are going to get a compensatory pick if Justin Verlander signs with another team. So 18.4 is the starting point. And Justin Verlander is going to make more than that. Justin Verlander, somebody's going to give him more than that, probably a 3-year deal, even at his age, and they're going to spend a boatload of money. James Click said this, "We've kept a close eye on him. He's been great about letting us know when he's going to be throwing so we can get in there and get an eye on him, see how he's doing. The videos I've seen have been awesome. Mm-hmm. If we can find a way to bring him back to Houston, it would be tremendous," Astros general manager James Click said via ESPN.
Okay. Is there bad blood because of – once again, I have to bring this story up just for context. John told a story about how the players went to Jim Crane and said, yeah, we don't want Justin Verlander throwing out the first pitch after it had been decided he was going to throw out the first pitch.
Yeah.
And it all got shut down. Too much bad blood to come back from?
I don't know that there's too much bad blood to come back from. Do you want to take a chance on a guy that just took $66 million and pitched 6 innings?
Let's run it back. $66 million for 2 years again.
6 innings. That's $11 million an inning.
Let's give him a chance to earn $126 million.
Well, and it ain't going to be. He ain't giving you no hometown discount just because you gave him 66. By the way.
Yeah. No. Why would you?
No.
Why would you? Why would you want to give a team a discount who just gave you $66 million for hanging out with a supermodel?
And I don't know. Well, it's his wife. I don't know.
Still hung out with her.
Yeah.
Still did things.
I don't know what they're doing, okay, quite frankly.
Well, I know that it's not I know they're not watching baseball games at
I know he didn't have time to go to the ballpark because he was so busy rehabbing every day.
Well, that
he
means,
might not have had time for her either.
Can I take
I
it
don't
back?
Know.
If he's been working that hard, $36 million a year. 2 years.
If he's been,
give him 72.
If he's been working that hard,
run
to
it back, Click. Run it back. This time, Justin means it.
I don't know. I don't know.
He ain't coming back.
First of all, he ain't coming back. Secondly, okay. What do you give him?
I mean, you offer him $19.5 million for 2 years. The guy just told you he wants to pitch until he's 45. You know what that means? That means he wants a 5-year deal. He ain't going to get it, but he'll get a minimum of 3. I'll bet you he gets 3, and I'll bet you there are 2 teams. And I know the Dodgers have already talked about they want to kind of – the reason they didn't give a qualifying offer to Kershaw, they said, we haven't written Kershaw off. We'd like him back at the right number, but they want to kind of, you know, revamp and get a little younger with their staff. So that wouldn't –
that number's
going to
be
18.
They don't want to give him 18.
Yeah, that wouldn't make – I know
he'd
that
probably
wouldn't make
go, yeah,
a
I'll
lot
take
of
that.
Sense.
Okay.
The Yankees are the team that would make a ton of sense.
For who?
To go after Verlander.
Verlander, yeah.
If you don't go after Carlos Correa, if you say, look, we got Verlander on a shorter term deal, it takes some pressure off Cole. It takes some eyes off of Cole. Cole may not have the personality to withstand a locker room with media types from New York. You get Verlander, who's a big personality. It helps what a weakness is for the Yankees. And maybe they do a 3-year deal, and you know, only if they don't go after Carlos, because they're signing Aaron Judge. I mean, that's – they're going to have to pay Aaron Judge. So you can't – I just don't know if you can pay Aaron Judge and Cole and Carlos Correa. I mean, $30 million a year, guys. And Stanton. Yeah, Giancarlo. I don't – I just don't know that Carlos is going to be
– I don't know. Well, the first thing that Cashman said when he was on some show, oh, yeah, shortstop's our priority.
Oh. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I mean, so –
well, you know, that's why you got to look at Marcus Semien. I just don't want Carlos
to
go
there. The numbers I'm seeing that Semien's going to get now, holy crap.
Well, look at what the shortstop paid. Look at what Lindor and Tatis, but especially Lindor, did to the market.
And by the way, he just won the Silver Slugger, too, Semien did, at second base.
And Carlos is going to command 30-plus a year. And I'll be shocked if he doesn't get in a neighborhood. Like, I think the final number is going to be between 32 and 34, just because that's what we've seen. It only takes one. Don't you think the Rangers are an outside possibility, though?
Yeah. No.
Not even an outside possibility.
No, I think the Rangers are a real possibility.
Who would you rank the top three? Astros, one.
Yankee. You're talking about.
Top three for Carlos. How would you rank them?
Yankees, one. Rangers, two. Detroit, three.
Astros, four.
Astros, seven.
Who's six?
He ain't giving them that. He ain't giving them the years.
Red Sox.
He ain't doing it. He's told you how many times does Jim Crane have to say the same thing to you?
So you won't take our 5-year deal. Let me ask you a question. What would you think of 4 years, Carlos? Tell me you don't want Carlos without telling me you don't want Carlos.
Allegedly, you offered him a 3-year deal during the season.
Well, that's one of those things where you say we'll let you get back to the market. I could understand that.
Yeah.
If you say we'll give you 3 years, $100 million, and let you get back to the market. I mean, you know what? I respect 3 at 120. I'd much rather take that if I'm Carlos than a 5-year deal at 160.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
I'd much rather 3 and 120 and then get back to the market when I'm 30 years old.
That's 120 of the 300 already. Yeah, you can get a 5-year deal, 180.
Because that time you might be looking at his next deal is a 6-year, $40 million deal.
He might be better off taking that short term deal and get to that 300 sooner than 10 years. He might. He just might.
Yeah.
All right. 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on anything? You're more than welcome. Right now, though, Chastang Ford. My peeps over at Chastang Ford. Nobody does it better, people. They are the number one commercial dealership in the city of Houston for Fords. And that tells you something. It really does tell you something because businesses want the best car they can possibly get. They want the service they can possibly get. They want it customized the way that they want it. And they want it at a price. And they do it all. They do it all at Chastang Ford. And they're doing that on the retail side as well. And who lets you buy your car, everything, do everything, and you don't have to leave your house? You can do it all online. Other dealerships won't do that because they have to have add-ons on there. They may want to make sure that you get that leather seats or that you get that sunroof or you get that bed liner or something else. Hey, you don't want that stuff? That's fine. Casting Ford says that's fine. How about this? We'll deliver the car to you. You can test drive it from your house. You can, that's unbelievable. And then if you don't like it, okay, send it back. We'll get you another one. Whatever you're looking for, it's all for you. It's the best service that you're going to find in the car business. You're looking for that Ford car or truck. You also got 72 months interest-free payments on select F-150s. That's an unbelievable deal right now in these times with these cars. All you got to do is go to ChastainFord.com or get to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Who wants to get in? You're more than welcome to do that. Paige Cortez, the senator from Louisiana here, who got this deal done with the state being able to have sports gambling, is going to join us in a little bit. I want to find out how we can do that in Texas. That would be awfully nice if we were able to do that.
Everybody at the Nugget, you're going to have a hit out on you. You keep saying that.
Listen. The Nugget can have all the people in Lake Charles area come here and bet on sports. We want Texas to have sports gambling too. Okay.
What if Texas just
opened up trying to just get all Houston people?
What
over
if Texas
here?
Opened up legalized app based gambling? Then you could have that.
I still think that brick and mortar, a place like this, is still very attractive.
Oh,
listen,
I do too.
Listen, let's not fool ourselves. Everybody's gambling on their phones. I mean, but it still is. I still want to come here. I want to come to the casino. I want to the hotel. I want the restaurants. I want the sports betting here.
I'll tell you what is. That's all true.
And by the way, I do it on my app. I got to wait for you to pay me someday. I can go to that window and cash my ticket
right
now.
That's all true. But you're not going to be a millennial or Gen Z. I think what's interesting is we're finding out some surprising things from those two generations as it pertains to
those people.
Let's see. They're having less relations than ever before. They don't like driving. They are getting wealthier earlier because they're more aggressive with things like cryptocurrency and things like that. They're much more willing to rent than own. It's also harder to own houses now. I mean, it's never been harder with prices going up and houses aren't on the market long and all that stuff. But they're much different from a consumer standpoint. And one of the things they don't do is in-person stuff as much.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth.
Well,
I've seen it firsthand in my own household. I think one of the real things, and Johnny Avella talked about it, the digital side is what you have to have. The digital side.
Oh well, listen, the kiosks are probably the thing of the future. These kiosks here, because these kids will just go up and start pressing buttons, and they'll find exactly what they want.
I don't have to talk to a human.
No, I don't have to talk to.
Can I just text you my bets?
But listen, I was in Vegas last week. I got to tell you, I've never seen it busier. It's unbelievable. You couldn't walk through the Nugget Casino.
Right? No. I'm totally
here,
with you.
It's packed.
But there's
it's
a whole group, a whole generation that is going to do a lot of stuff.
Screw
online.
Those people.
Well, they're going to be alive when you're dead.
The
consumers aren't looking.
Then
at,
I'm not
what
gonna,
do we do to get Johnny Granato in this place?
I'm not going
to
give a rat's ass about any of this. I'll be dead. What
you
do
should
I care?
Here, let me talk to Tyler about this. We're going to talk to you.
All right. Tyler's probably going to die before me.
Oh. No, there's no chance.
Well, he could.
Get Gilbert on the line.
Okay.
I probably will, based on Gilbert's death prediction for me.
No, you're probably first to go.
I may.
Let's get Spencer
If I were plus, I'd play me. Yeah. If you were the favorite and you were minus and I was plus, I'd be like, I'm taking a shot on Lance. Honestly. I think I'm just playing the odds. Mattress Mac coming here. I just made my first $60,000 death wager on Lance Zierlein at DraftKings. Like, no, Mac. That shouldn't be on the board, Mac. No. Mac just played me with one of his future bets. If you buy furniture, a living room set for me, and Lance doesn't die by 2027 when Gilbert said it, if he does, you are going to be absolutely, it's free furniture, free. If Lance dies by 2027 when Gilbert said, save you money today. I'm like, oh, no, I'm a promotion now.
It's better. It's better than just dying quietly.
No, I'd rather be part of a promotion.
Yeah, absolutely, Mac. Yeah. Mac, get that.
But
get that
everybody's
on the board.
Buying furniture, hoping I die. I don't want that juju in the world.
Or if they could possibly kill you.
Well, then all bets are off. To me,
to
I would say this: if there looks like signs of foul play, no bets get paid off. You all pay for your furniture.
Oh,
how about that?
That's a load of crap.
No, you got to say that to keep me, you know, keep the game viable.
Let's get Spencer in here. He wants to talk about this contract thing with Carlos and Justin Verlander. What do you say, Spencer?
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank Lance. I have a 22-year-old son, and I thought I had run out of ways to wake him up in the morning. You know, I've done the eyelash tickle, the dragging the yarn across the face, throwing a dog on the bed, pinning him down when the covers are above his shoulders. That's always his favorite. But he'll be home for Thanksgiving next week. And
I'm going to put the song out. I'm going to record it with Tyler. I'll get the file, and I will put it out on Twitter for everybody to play off of their phones as loudly as they're Wake Up Time in America. And my kids hate it.
Wow.
I think your kid will hate it as well.
Well, if it's okay with you, I'm gonna do a cover version instead of yours.
Oh, that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a problem.
Oh, yeah, you could cover it.
It just goes like this. It's Wake Up Time in America. Yeah, do it like a drill sergeant voice. Like that, and also it helps if you do your arm back and forth, and you also march.
Right, you have
to keep a cadence going. Yeah, but and keep going until he gets out of the bed, and he'll scream and yell, he'll threaten you, but keep on going. That's the only way this thing works.
All right, it works.
Trust me.
All right, so on the Verlander Correa stuff, I think the sweet spot for Correa is 6'2", 10". I don't think there's going to be a team that comes in with a big 310-year offer. If they do, then good luck to them, but it'll be a terrible contract for whoever does that. And then with Verlander, I honestly thought he would just sign the qualifying offer and move on. I don't know exactly what's going on, but a team that signs him to anything longer than the 2-year contract, that's a bad, bad, bad decision. And you know, if somebody else signs him for a long-term contract like that, God bless him. And thanks for everything, but I do not want the Astros to get tied up in horrible long-term contracts because they simply never work out. All right, thanks, guys.
Welcome to professional sports in America, a bad, bad, bad contract. It happens every day. John Wall is making $40 million this year not playing.
That's his point. We don't need all that.
Well, that
you see Jeff Van Gundy went off on Houston? Did you see that? He goes, hey, I don't know where he said it. I don't know where he said this, but I saw the quote yesterday on Twitter from Greg Rajan, who is an editor with the Chronicle. Jeff Van Gundy, here, I'll read you the quote, what Jeff Van Gundy said. It is everything that it's basically the sleeping bag. You know, do you have the sleeping bag by any chance handy? Mitch Fox with a sleeping bag. Here's what Greg Rajan said. Yeah, that's fine. He's the Houston Chronicle Sports, and Jeff Van Gundy said this yesterday, so he may be listening to the show. Let me pull
up. Hey guys, Mitch Fox from the Sleeping Bag. Have you ever put on your winter coat for the first time all year, reached inside that right pocket and pulled out a $20 bill? Well, how would you like to reach inside that pocket and pull out $66 million while pitching just 6 innings? Justin Verlander did just that using our patented technology that helped him make all the money he could possibly spend without working. We also did the same thing for John Wall and for Deshaun Watson. And now is your opportunity to make more money than you could possibly spend without even having to work. All you have to do is attend my seminar, and we'll teach you how to do just that. Call 1-800-676-5200. That's 1-800-676-5200. If you're one of the first 10 people to sign up, we're going to throw in the Big Chunk Fat Suit, which makes you look 25 to 30 pounds heavier and can help you move out of the city in no time while still getting paid. The Sleeping Bag Seminar in Houston. 1-800-676-5200. And don't miss out on that Big Chunk Fat Suit.
All right, here's a Greg Rajan. Jeff Van Gundy somewhere said this. I think it was on the broadcast. He said, it's a Houston tradition now. Our best player in football, Deshaun Watson, we don't play. John Wall doesn't play. Justin Verlander, to be fair, didn't play, but he had Tommy John surgery. No one plays. I think it sets a dangerous precedent going forward, not just for the Rockets, but for the NBA, that a person everyone says is healthy, we are choosing, even though he's a really good player, to sit him out and wait until some trade comes about. I don't necessarily understand it for either side, but they came to an agreement. I just think it's dangerous. It's what we've talked about. No one has paid more money this year in a city ever in history than Houston for guys who don't play. Yep. And two players, Deshaun Watson and John Wall, totally healthy, just they said, we don't want to play for you. And the team says, okay, I guess not. We'll just keep paying you and not let it. Like, that is the worst possible thing for sports. It is the worst possible thing to say, well, wait a minute. We gave you guaranteed money. Shouldn't you have to play? Nah, you're incompetent. I'm not playing for you.
I understand. As a matter of fact, I get all of them, if you want to know the truth. I don't want John Wall, first of all, around the young guys. What John Wall playing makes absolutely no sense for the Houston Rockets. Just none. Just none.
Then cut him and pay him that way.
Well, I guess
to sit him on the bench when you need a point guard is terrible.
That's what I. You know what? Just cut. Just cut him. And
just
let
pay.
Him go
you're going to have to pay him anyway. Look, yeah. No one's trading.
And he's not
for
playing.
Him.
Well just
no
cut
one
him.
Is trading for John Wall.
Nobody.
No one's giving you assets.
Nobody.
You would have to give a draft pick for someone to take that salary off, and you'd have to pay half the salary minimum.
Might as well just cut him. What is the sense of him just
more
sitting
than half
there?
Salary?
Let him go play somewhere, and you're paying him anyway.
I don't even know if he. Yeah, he would. No, if he was free, yeah, Daryl Morey would probably sign him.
Yeah. Yeah, if he was absolutely – well, not free, but they got to pay him
whatever. When I say free, I mean the Rockets are already paying him. What would he pay? He just pick and choose where
and
he
whatever
wants to
play. He makes from that other team takes off of what you have to pay him for his salary.
Yeah, and you'd say, hey, John, if you want a chance to play here in Philadelphia,
go.
Take league minimum.
Go.
And he'd probably take it.
That's right. He'd take it.
If
and at least you'd save that. You're not saving anything.
But how bad does that look when you just pay guys full salaries? And what Jeff Van Gundy's point is, and the one that we've discussed before – this is really, really bad as it pertains to the precedent that you are setting for other players.
Oh, my God.
Because the league has to – there has to be a – look, the league has to have – the league got guaranteed money, so now players are taken care of, right? It's been that way for a long time. But part of that agreement should be, okay, this is how it's going to work. We're going to guarantee your money, but you're going to play for us, and that's the way it is. That shouldn't even have to be a said thing, but now that's not even a certainty anymore. So the next collective bargaining agreement, they're going to have to address that. And the NFL with Deshaun Watson and T.J. Watt and these guys with their hold-ins, that's going to now have to be addressed as
yep.
well.
All right, still ahead, we'll be talking to Senator Paige Cortez. Del Olale is going to join us at the top of the hour to talk college football and five-star. He's going to bounce back this week and give us some picks at the bottom of the hour. We're at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. The DraftKings Sportsbook has opened up. It opened up yesterday, and it's spectacular, people. Great place to come and watch your game, put your bets down. Listen, the hotel is spectacular. The casino, it's as good as any casino that you'll find in Vegas. The hotel is wonderful. Restaurants that are we were at the Chart House yesterday. There's Grotto. There's Vic and Anthony's. There's Saltgrass. There's whatever it is that you want to eat here, they've got it. It just doesn't get any better than this. It's just 2 hours away from Houston. So easy to get to. You're looking for a place. I mean, why go to Vegas anymore? You've got everything that you could possibly want right here now that the DraftKings Sportsbook has opened up here as well. You're looking for a great getaway. Oh, by the way, the pool, spectacular. People were out there swimming yesterday. I played the golf course. You walk through the pool. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. To the golf course, that's spectacular as well right here. You're looking for everything that you could possibly want just 2 hours down the road, down I-10. It's right here at the Golden Nugget, Lake Charles.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, Lance Zierlein here. I want to talk about my good friends over at Texas Custom Patios. That would be Stephen Schell and his entire group. He's gotten bigger. I don't want to say better. He was great when he built my patio there in 2016. It was fantastic. The company was fantastic. I found them. I was searching for a group to build my patio, and I'm the one that found them. And I asked him to come on the air and advertise because I wanted our listeners to hear about them. But he's just getting bigger and expanding, but the work that they do is still incredible. And if you go to TexasCustomPatios.com, you'll see it for yourself. And listen, they've done thousands of jobs. So no matter what your house looks like or your design or your backyard, they've got a design team that will give you a perfectly accurate rendering of the property, and so you'll see exactly what it will look like at your home. They can finance it, so if you want to get the patio of your dream, when I say patio, we're talking outdoor kitchen, outdoor living space. I mean, truly an oasis at your own home. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com and start the process with your free consultation. TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach O.
Sugar Hill Gang coming back in. That was off the board. I would not have seen this.
Aaron will go.
Yeah, I thought it might be a... you know, a sample of Sugar Hill, but he came in with Sugar Hill.
That's nice.
I respect it, Aaron.
Here's what Coach O said this week, teleconference on Wednesday. I felt we were a better team than them. I don't know if they were expecting us to be that good. I don't know if they played their peak. I got to read this because we could hear Coach O, but I'd have to translate it anyway. I don't know if they were expecting us to be that good. I don't know if they played to their peak performance or not, but I felt we matched up pretty good. I can't judge how good they are. They aren't as good as they were in the past. They might be the best team in the country. I don't know, but they weren't that night. Agree wholeheartedly. Alabama is not as good as Alabama has been in the past.
No. I made a comment to Pat Forty yesterday. Has Georgia out-Alabama and Alabama on the defensive side? But even on the offensive side, you know, we joke about this. We don't even joke about it, actually. It's real. Bill O'Brien is a huge liability as a play caller on the college game. They went away from the Bill O'Brien stuff and went to the Lane Kiffin-type play calling. Nick Saban did. He started finding Steve Sarkisian, guys who could take some of the elements of Alabama football in the running game but really upgrade it with more aggressive college-style passing attack. What they've done now is they've gone backwards. They've gone backwards with Bill O'Brien. And it, I mean, they are tasting the disaster that is Bill O'Brien. He can screw up a soup sandwich. That's what he's doing over there.
Here's when asked this week about Bill O'Brien. I actually think, this is Nick Saban, I actually think he's done a pretty good job. I think we all had a bad game last week. O'Brien will be the first to say it, and me too, because we're responsible for what happens on the field and wasn't good, especially on that side of the ball. But I don't think that's a reason to question what we've done all year. We are the number one scoring team in the SEC, I think. Last week was not good. They are. They average 43 points a game.
Great. What did they do in the second half against Florida? What did they do
against
in
the red zone
against A&M?
How did they run the ball against LSU?
In three games this year, when's the last time you saw Alabama have issues in three games in a single season offensively? Don't tell me about – you sound like Mack Brown now. Well, we score 43 points in a game, and I guess that's not good enough. Greg Davis must be the worst offense coordinator in the world. We're only scoring 43 points a game, and he's the worst. Well, actually, there are issues, Mack, with your offense, and actually, there are issues with Bill O'Brien right now play calling. It's a big problem in Alabama. The Alabama media and fans have really – started getting after Bill O'Brien, and I'm like, I'm just sipping my tea like Kermit. It's like, okay, y'all go ahead and keep doing that Bill O'Brien thing. What are you guys from Alabama? What do you even do? I don't even know what you guys do. Questioning me.
Dan Wetzel, speaking of college football, Dell is going to join us at the top of the hour. By the way, Dan Wetzel was on with the Killer Bees yesterday. Asked about the 12-team college football playoff proposal, here's Dan Wetzel.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing. I think it's gonna create so many more teams are in it. You know, you consider like who's gonna win the ACC. It doesn't really matter this year. Well, it will if you have a 12-team playoff. Getting those games on campus would be unbelievable. You know, the idea of playoff games happening at our historic stadiums around the country. That the idea of a southern team having to go to the north and maybe play in some snow, things like that. Like, no one's ever sat there at, like, you know, Kyle Field or Bryant Denny Stadium or the Horseshoe in Columbus and said, boy, I really wish this game was getting played in suburban Phoenix right now. That'd be so much more exciting.
You know what? It's true. I think the first round of a 12-team playoff, if it was at home, that would be awesome.
I 100% agree.
You know, the excitement level for those fan bases going on, having to go on the road. If you're one of the, if you're a 9-12 team, guess what? You're the 9th ranked team, 10th, 11th, 12th in the country. You should go on the road.
Yeah. I'm completely with that. I think it creates. Now, I get the opportunity for, I get the opportunity for both fan bases to travel, but let's face it. You can't, what happens a lot of times, people, and especially how expensive those tickets get, it's hard to travel 2 weeks in a row. So let a team have a home game. You know, if the road team wins and the next game is a neutral field, then you get a chance to go travel to that one.
So 5, 6, 7, 8 will play 9, 10, 11, 12 in the first round. You go travel there. Then you have your final eight teams. Now you start going to bowls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. Look, I'm not in favor of 12. I just think it puts too many people in the mix. I've been in favor of 4, but I never think 4 are deserving. It's usually only 2 to 3.
Well, this year
it's hard to find a fourth.
This year it's hard to find a second. I don't think Alabama's not good. Alabama is probably not in this thing. They lose to Georgia in the SEC championship game. They're out.
I mean, the LSU game opened the door for people. If you said, I'm tired of Bama being in there, and you're on the selection committee, that opens the door for plausible deniability. A plausible ouster of Alabama. If everyone else behind them win, though, you got to have wins behind them.
Listen, Cincinnati goes undefeated. Alabama has 2 losses. Cincinnati doesn't get in.
Michigan's not getting in ahead of them. If Michigan beats Ohio State, I just don't know that Alabama falls off. I don't think Alabama loss to Georgia will cause them to fall all the way out, but it could. I mean, but you have to have those teams win. Cincinnati has to win out. They have to beat your beloved Cougs. You want to see that happen?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No. I want the Cougs to beat their ass.
Okay, so Cincinnati's out.
So that's
out.
All right. Cincinnati's out. You still got 1-loss teams. Oregon, what are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with Ohio State when they have 1 loss?
They could be in there. It's 4 teams.
Yeah.
Oregon still be in. Alabama, Oregon.
A 2-loss Alabama Georgia. Team you want ahead of these 1-loss teams.
Yeah, some of them, yeah.
No. They don't deserve
what
it
But you lose
year.
To A&M, who's going to be a top 8 team, and Georgia number 1. And then Oregon lost to Stanford. Yeah, that's a hard sell just saying, well, that's only 1 loss. Well, who have you played? And how did you lose? Like, that's not really an argument I could make.
But then, you know what? Then you a good thing you're not
gun
on
to your
a
head. Gun to your head. Now, this is a tricky gun to your head contest, but gun to your head, who do you – gun to your head. You taking Alabama or Oregon in a neutral field?
Oregon.
That's a
Oregon
lie.
Went to Ohio
you're
State and beat their ass.
You're a dead man.
Okay.
Except for the fact
went
that Bill
to
O'Brien,
Ohio State beat their ass.
Except for the fact that Bill O'Brien's calling plays.
Paige Cortez next, right here on ESPN 97.5. Oh, you're forgetting about Oklahoma, too. All right. Notre Dame. Okay.
terrible,
he just dropped the mic.
What a terrible year of football. If you're forgetting about that Oklahoma team.
Yeah. You got to do. You need to put your headset back on.
And then I better put them back on because I want. If I didn't have my phone, my headset on, I couldn't tell you about Maestro Dobell. I got Adrian Pipri Jr. sent me a picture yesterday of Maestro Dobell. He got the silver, which is great for cocktails or for sipping. I have my añejo, which will be. It's actually in the refrigerator in my office and. I'm just going to have it nice and chilled, waiting for me when I drive back to back into the office today. And I had something that was – I had an amazing, amazing tequila. They've got this beautiful bottle. It was it's a smoked Super Añejo, or it's a charcoal-filtered Cristalino Super Añejo. It was the best tequila I have ever had. I'm telling you right now, Maestro Dobell, if you love tequilas, 11 generations of tequila makers are putting this together for you. And so they understand what they're doing. 100% blue agave, always used. The processes to make the Cristalinos are charcoal-filtered. And so you've got the Cristalino Diamante is waiting for you at your local liquor store if they sell fine liquors. But this is a chance to truly upgrade your spirit game. Whether you're drinking it by itself or whether you're putting it in a cocktail, make sure that you experience my friends at Maestro Dobell. They are the official sponsor of the PGA Tour.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You're listening.
listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Back here live at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles, John and Lance, along with Tyler, out here. We opened up the DraftKings Sportsbook yesterday. Mattress Mack making the first bet. The second bet was by Senator Paige Cortez, who's joining us right now here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He bet on his Raging Cajuns yesterday.
Oh, that's the Raging Cajun bet.
Yeah, that's the Raging Cajun bet. And he's joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Senator, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
We appreciate you being here. First and foremost, though, you know, I asked you yesterday, you know, I just want you to know you're not taking our coach to go to LSU, just so you know that. Jimbo ain't going. Just so you know, that's not happening, okay?
Being in politics, I can tell you the one thing you can't stop is rumors. That's the one thing you cannot stop. So they're rampant right now.
I know they're rampant, but Jimbo's shutting it down. Just so you know, look elsewhere. Don't be looking over there west in our state for that next head coach here at LSU, just so you know. I didn't know you until yesterday. You were I was on the broadcast with Don Allen for 3 years with the Raging, the Brian Mitchell years.
Oh, so yeah, that was, yeah, great years.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And you're a Raging Cajun guy. And listen, we want to know, and I'm not sure you want to tell us, but I want to know how you got this thing done, because you got the Bible Belt here. You got, you know, Northern Louisiana was not all for this, and yet you were still able to get this sports betting done in this state. What were the challenges that you faced? Because we want to do this in Texas. What kind of challenges are we going to face if we get this, to get this done in Texas?
Well, first of all, the electorate is becoming more and more of a younger generation, and so while you and I's generation grew up maybe thinking demonizing gaming and so forth, but the younger generation, with the advent of the DraftKings and FanDuel and all of this fantasy sports, we didn't grow up with that, but they did. And so, you know, it's nothing for them to get in a fantasy league team and wager a few dollars. And so the first step was we had to legalize fantasy sports in Louisiana. The second step was, if we wanted to do sports wagering, we put it out for a referendum. And whereas Texas has counties, we have parishes. And 55 of the 64 parishes voted affirmative that they wanted to have it, that they wanted to participate in that. And so that made it a little bit easier when you have the public that says, this is something we want. It's hard for their elected officials to go back to Baton Rouge and not pass it. The difficult part is that you're going to have naysayers on anything you do, and you also had an awful lot of money that was being discussed. And so we, as legislators, had to be fair to the public to make sure that if we taxed it, we taxed it so that it would go to the good, for the public good. That was number one. Number two, that the locals had an option to participate, meaning the local, you know, sports bar would have an opportunity to be able to draw fans into their sports bar and utilize it. So we had to create a mobile component. We had to create a licensing component, which the Golden Nugget, you know, and I know that, you know, George spent time with you there yesterday, they were one of the guys at the forefront to say, look, we just want you to be fair and do what's right. And they never pressured the legislature in any way, shape, or form. They just said, we know we're going to benefit for it, but just do what's right and fair. So that was the nutshell.
How much do you think you're going to generate annually in taxes with sports betting?
You know, we don't really know, but when the full mobile component kicks in, we think if we get a good year, we could be north of $20 million. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of money, but for some of the local entities, they are going to get plenty. But what we don't do is talk about the secondary and tertiary sources of economic development. For example, how much revenue will it generate if people from Houston come to the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles and go eat at Dick and Anthony's and go gamble at the tables? That's the draw to get them. And so the amount of dollars, the economic development, and the amount of second and third spends is where we're really going to make it.
Absolutely.
With New Orleans.
We're talking with Senator Paige Cortez right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And it's you explained it. You got 55 of the 64 parishes. You cannot be standing in a parish that didn't vote for it and be able to vet on your phone because you'll be left out, right? You got to go to one of the parishes that actually approved it, correct?
That's correct. So if I'm driving from my hometown of Lafayette, let's say up to Shreveport, and I happen to say, oh, you know, I wouldn't be driving, of course, I would be sitting in the passenger seat, but if I were traveling, and I said, you know, I want to put a wager on my mobile app, and I happen to be in a parish that didn't pass it, I'm geofenced out of doing that. And I may get out of that parish and be in a parish that did approve it, and kickoff may have already occurred. So I may have missed out. But, yeah, we're going to geofence those parishes out, and they also won't receive any of the local dollars that will come from the revenue source.
So if counties...
Well, you sound like an ex-wife.
Yeah.
What? Coming after me like that, holding them grudges. Holding grudges like an ex-wife, Paige.
Hey, you don't vote for it? You didn't want it?
Holding grudges like a wife. Yeah, I shouldn't say ex-wife, like a wife.
Like a wife.
Like, wow, you bringing that up again? Why are we bringing this up again? You're geo-fenced out. But, you know, it's true. It's funny. I don't know why. I've done commercials for Underdog Fantasy. If you try to go on here, you're geo-fenced out. It says... They don't work in Louisiana, which I don't know if it's a DraftKings thing or what the deal is here, but that's a real thing. The GPS allows you to geofence stuff, and it really, really works. So I spent some time in Louisiana. My brother and sister went to school here, and I spent a little bit of time here. And you talk about gambling is a culture here in Louisiana. Some areas. While you are right about, you know, in general – sports gambling, you know, was demonized, which I always thought was ridiculous. This is a savvy state as it pertains to horse racing, sports gambling, just a lot of – Louisiana has a history in its background of understanding and having a feel for gambling, including sports gambling as well, for sure, even if it's just legal right now at the sports books.
Absolutely, and most of us in the southern part of the state, you know, in what we call the Cajun country area, the Cajun area,
yep,
grew up playing a game called Bure. You know, we'd play with our grandmothers, and it was a nickel ante, you know, and things like that, just for fun in the summer. So we all grew up with a little bit of that. We have the bingos, you know, are rampant around here, the charity bingos. But you mentioned horse racing. I want to segue just quickly. We also passed some legislation relative to historic horse racing machines at the off-track betting parlors. And what that's going to do is actually fund our purses. So we know there are a lot of people in the horse business in the greater Houston area that come to run at the tracks in Louisiana. And we're looking to do big things in the horse racing circuit and be a circuit to be contended with in the near future with the Kentuckys and the New York circuits of the world. And we want to be on the map when it comes to that.
At Senator Paige Cortez, hey, congrats. You spearheaded this thing. All of the accolades go to you for getting this job done. And Louisiana should be very grateful that you, you know, you could foresee something that's going to be so great for this state. I wish we could see it in Texas. I'll tell you the truth. I wish we could see it, but we just can't. So congratulations, Senator, on getting this job done.
Well, maybe part of the deal is you send us your coach and I'll help you.
No, you ain't getting no coach.
No.
You ain't getting no that coach. All right, move on. Move along. Nothing to see here with Jimbo Fisher. Hey, Senator, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. It was great visiting with you yesterday, and continued success.
Yeah, thank you, guys. John Lance, thank
all right,
you so much.
Paige Cortez joining us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, Del Olale going to be joining us here next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, listen, in Texas we can't we don't have a brick and mortar. We got the casino right here. But if you want to play on your laptop, you want to play on your phone in Texas, I got the place. It's MyBookie, MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. And right now it's just awesome. It's an easy site to navigate. So simple, people. All you got to do, it can't be simpler. If you don't know anything about gambling, MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 is simple. It is wonderful. I'm on it. And you know what? You get to play, you win, you get paid. But also this, I don't care if you were never a client, you've been a client, you were a client before, and you're not anymore. If you deposit $1,000 right now, they'll double that. They'll double that deposit up to $1,000 so that you've got $2,000 to play with. You don't have to do it if you want a $200, $500, whatever it is. Up to $1,000 right now, they will double your play at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. You're looking for a great way to win, get paid, and just have so much fun. It's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.